himself, natural man, would extinguish the very word of God if he could. And yet the Bible tells us that man has a soul. It is a soul with eternity stamped upon it. And a soul with eternity stamped upon it, the Bible says, cannot live by bread alone. Although man seeks to feed his soul with junk food, yet such does not work. And that is why men are very dissatisfied in their souls. There is a hunger there for the Word of God. They are forever seeking peace and finding none. And the fleshly substitutes that they put in the place of that which is of God is cankered, and it stinks. You look at many of the famous and the rich in Hollywood. We all picture Hollywood in our mind, do we not? The hill with the word Hollywood, the great mansions, where there is riches, where people have no financial worries, where they can and they do go on expensive holidays. But we ask the question tonight, sorry for spoiling the party, but let me ask this, are they happy? You know, if you go on the computer and you go on to Wikipedia, the online encyclopedia, usually you type in somebody's name, it's the first one that comes up is Wikipedia. And you look up the lives and the details of all and many of the movie stars. And you go down and it tells you who they were and where they were born and who was who and what they appeared in and so on and so on. And away down somewhere near the bottom you come to the little bit that talks about their private lives. And when you come to their private lives, you will find that they have all, with very few exceptions. Very few exceptions. Yes, they are there, but they are very few indeed. And they have been in multiple relationships and breakups. And certainly they do not come across as being very spiritually fulfilled. Some of them are very dysfunctional people indeed. And you will discover the more you read that they have started going to spiritists. They are going and paying thousands to the New Age gurus. And it is just but proving my point tonight, that their soul is in a state of perpetual hunger. I know that it might be more dramatic with the Hollywood stars. That is because of the paparazzi. That is because of the glossy magazines. Go into any news agent. Go and look at the magazines that are selling there that are dedicated solely to the lives of the Hollywood legends and the others. Or the Hollywood stars of the present day. There's dozens of these magazines. But it's true of everyone. Yes, perhaps less dramatically. Certainly with less publicity. But it's true of every man outside the Lord Jesus Christ. The hunger pangs that they felt. We look again here at this incident that lies before us in the life of the Lord Jesus. And we have the hard reality that they faced. The hard reality that they faced. You see, if you get the various church leaders organizing pivotal conferences and recognizing that the world is hungry, and I'm speaking now about that spiritual hunger, and they will confess, we cannot feed this people. That is what happened here. The Lord said, go and feed them. And Philip wasn't it there. In the words there of verse 7, answered him. He said unto Philip, where will we buy bread that these may eat? Philip said, look, we just can't do it. 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. Remember, a laborer was on a penny a day. So you're looking here, what about 9 months' wages or 8 or 9 months' wages? And Philip says, even if we had that, we couldn't buy enough bread. All we have here, he said, is just a little bit of bread, a few fish. What are these? What are these, it is said, among so many? Their hunger was too deep. There were 3 days without food. Their number was too many. 5,000 men plus women and children. Their larder was too bare. When they had an inventory of what they had, all they could say is, here is a little lad, and all he has is 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. And the question is asked. It didn't need to be asked, but it was asked, what are these? What are these among so many? And therefore they protested about being expected to meet this hunger. Elsewhere they pointed out the lateness of the hour. It wasn't as if it was early in the morning. It was now late at night. The sun was starting to set. And here they were expected at this late hour to provide food for this people. These men suggested that the people be sent away into the towns and the villages to get food. This is what the disciples said, Lord, send them away. Encourage them. Tell them that you're going to preach no more. You're not going to teach any more. There's not going to be any more miracles. Encourage them to go down, back down the mountain, into the villages. There they can feed themselves. They desired to wash their hands of any responsibility. And the hard facts were these, that the Lord Jesus commanded them to feed them. He himself knew what he would do. This wasn't words that should not have been spoken. This wasn't something whereby our Lord was speaking from ignorance and just didn't realize the extent of the problem. No, he himself knew what he would do. They did not see how it could be done. And you know, when it comes to spiritual matters, here in Garva, to apply it locally here, the Free Presbyterian Church, not alone, for there are other churches in the town and in the neighbourhood, but they have a responsibility. And your responsibility is to feed the people spiritually in the neighbourhood round about. Not just the one that come in through the doors, but the ones that won't come in through the doors. You've got a responsibility. We can't meet here tonight in a little holy huddle like this and not care tuppence for the people that are in the estates. We cannot think. The moment we think like that, we're finished. It'll drag out a little bit, but we're finished. No, we've got to have a care and a heart for God's people. And we can't feed them on our own resources, because the truth be told, we can't even feed ourselves out of our own resources. We mentioned the pleasure seekers from the glitzy palaces, the tinsel town. We watched them in their yachts and their private jets, and their great mansions in Beverly Hills, and the red carpeted film premieres and the Oscar awards. We watched them binge and drink and do the designer drugs, stumble from one relationship into another. We get dizzy trying to keep up with who lived with who and who sued who in a multi-million divorce settlement. We thought about those people. I would not wish myself to be among them. Let us think about the more sober people, bringing it a little nearer home. People who are outwardly more upright. People who are content to live in lower wages, to dwell in smaller houses, smaller cars, no dreams, no desire after yachts or private jets. People who are happy to be married to one person for life. Maybe people who even go to church and entertain reasonably orthodox views of God and of morality. And yet they cannot feed themselves. What was it brought Nicodemus out of the darkness of the night to speak to the Lord Jesus Christ? What was it induced the rich young ruler who could boast that he had kept all the outward commandments that were quoted to him from his youth up, and yet still had to say, what lack I yet? His inability to feed his hungry soul. Men cannot find answers, even in orthodox Christian and religious circles. Yes, it is the place to be if you're serious about the matter. The worst thing to do is to forsake the place where the Bible is taught. But do not make it an end in and of itself. The very apostles felt themselves inadequate to meet the need of the people before them. You know, when they wanted to send away the people to the villages, that was really a cop-out. That was a cop-out. Do they not hold their heads in shame? Do we not do likewise? You know, we're not witnessing to the truth of the Bible. And I'm not saying now you're making a pain out of yourself and shoving tracts at everybody you meet. The same person about 20 times and buttonholing people. I'm not talking about that. But if you're not living a vibrant life for Christ, if you're not witnessing for the Lord as you get the opportunity to do so in that natural way, that way that shows you have a concern for souls, then we're like those people of whom the Lord spoke in Psalm or Isaiah 56. His watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs that cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, and loving to slumber. These are words we often apply to apostate ministers. We have been to the funerals of neighbours, the gospel not preached, a church packed to the doors, maybe a big funeral, several hundred, a minister in the congregation, but not preaching the gospel. And we have come out and we have said, wasn't that a disgrace? He could have preached the gospel, dumb dog that could not preach. It's always easy to redirect the rebukes of Scripture elsewhere. No, we've got to be able to tell people. You see, we ourselves are no longer hungry, at least not with that hunger that the world experiences. We have eaten, we have drunken, and whilst we hunger and we thirst for more, it's not because of the unsatisfactory nature of the food. We only hunger and thirst after righteousness because it is so filling and it is so satisfactory. We have tasted, have we not, child of God, the finest of the wheat. And because of that, we have no desire to taste anything else. We have found not only what we need, we have found what we want in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are on to a good thing, and our soul knows it, but it's our responsibility to meet the needs of the people round about. These people were on to something here. They had followed Christ up into the mountain. For 3 whole days without food, they had sat listening to him. You know what that tells me? Just that little incident, that little detail, that's telling me God was already at work. I see here the cloud the size of a man's hand here. This can only be of God. Oh yes, there were 10,000 found elsewhere who didn't seem to be concerned. But there were 5,000 plus here. And then there was a little lad, and he comes with his little lunchbox. Oh, the innocence of a little child. He goes up to one of the apostles. Who did he go to there? Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He says, you know, there's a wee lad here, and he's come. He tugged my coat out of ground, and there he was. Please, mister, my mummy made me a wee lunchbox. And the wee soul opens up the wee lunchbox, and there's 5 wee loaves, probably finger food, you know, for a little boy, and 2 little fishes. And he says, even though I'm hungry, I want you to have them. I want you to have them. It's a day of small things. The Bible says, don't despise it. Don't despise the day of small things. Despising the day of small things will not make its shadows to flee away. It's more likely to cause the anchors to go down and cause us to endure it longer until we have learned a lesson well. But here they were up on a mountain, a hungry multitude, an order from the Lord to feed them, and stuck for the way to go, the hard reality that they faced. Moving on here, we see thirdly the holy answer that they forgot. The holy answer that they forgot. When Andrew brought the wee lad with his lunchbox, Andrew did not see the potential that lay there. Here was a lad, his 5 loaves, his little fishes, and he speaks, yes, he reports it to the Lord Jesus, but you can hear the skepticism oozing out of his next words. Well, here's this wee lad, out of the kindness of his heart he has come, and he's offering us 5 loaves. 2 fishes. What are these? What are these among so many? What did they forget? Even though it was stirring them in the face of a whole time. We have that little saying, you know, they couldn't see the wood for the trees. Not the way it is in the forest, there you're standing in it. I said, I don't see any wood. I can see trees, but I can't see wood. They were in the presence of the Lord of glory. It's always a difference, you know, when the Lord's there. It's always a difference. He was there present with them. He himself had issued the command to feed the hungry. He had already, in their presence, performed many other miracles. In John chapter 3, at the very beginning of the gospel, Nicodemus could come to the Lord Jesus and say, "No man can do the miracles, plural, that thou hast done, except God be with him." They had access to the Old Testament scriptures. The Old Testament scriptures taught them many truths. This very chapter, John chapter 6, concentrates later on the manna that came down from heaven. How many did the manna feed when it came down from heaven? The manna came down from heaven. There were 600,000 people in the wilderness. And not only on one occasion, but year in and year out, the manna fell. It was so regulated that twice as much fell on a Friday, so that they could keep the Sabbath day and not go out to collect it. The same Old Testament argues from the lesser to the greater. We were thinking this morning, were we not in the Bible study of the Bible class, of the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? God asks the question, is there anything too hard from me? And just in case we've got to look up the answers at the back, we read in Jeremiah, there is nothing. There is nothing too hard for thee. What does man's soul hunger and thirst after? If God has put eternity in the heart of man, as we read in the book of Ecclesiastes, then man is hungering after God, his creator. And the only one who can meet that deep and aching void in the heart of any man is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This thought is developed in the chapter later on, accumulating, centering around the words of verse 35, where the Lord Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst." The soul of man cannot find rest, it cannot find satisfaction outside of Jesus Christ. The pleasures of the world, the riches of the world cannot deliver it. Religion on its own cannot deliver it. It cannot deliver it. The only person who can deliver it to us and in whom it is found is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why as a church we insist absolutely on preaching Christ. We are watching round as we can see our churches. No disrespect, even evangelical ones. And they are losing the plot. Yes, they might retain their belief in the authority of Scripture. They might not sell out the faith as far as doctrine is concerned, but they are not emphasizing Christ. And the less we emphasize Christ, then the less power that we're going to have and the less influence we are going to have. These churches have brought in a lot of lesser things. They will not preach Christ as the prophet, as the priest, and as the king. And therefore the hungry are still unfed. And they faint for the lack of food. And they're at a loss how to deal with it. I remember reading a man lamenting the decline in his church. He said, in the old days, you know, when things got low, he says, the elders and the church met for prayer. And they got on their knees and they confessed their sin, confessed their weakness, and they cried out to God for help. He says, now we organize an Amy Grant concert. We sell the tickets and we try and get the young people to come in for what is basically a night's entertainment. Oh, they were very strong words, but they were true. Yes, they were true. All the time here, the Lord, who has commissioned them to be preachers of him and his righteousness, is there among them, ready to save. For he'll save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. The holy answer they forgot. The Lord standing in their midst. We see here fourthly the happy thousands they fed. Our Lord said, well, what do you have? With just 5 loaves and 2 little fish. Well, we took it. This wee lad had given up his lunchbox. And in a supernatural act, I believe that. I said that without blushing. I said that without batting an eyelid, in a supernatural act. Something that went outside the boundary lines of nature. God Himself, the supreme being of heaven and earth, supernaturally, miraculously, wonderfully intervened. He took this meager supply of food, and we're not told how he did it, but it just so happened that he reached into this little basket again and again, and the people were sitting, we read elsewhere, in the ranks on the grass, and the disciples were able to feed 5,000 men plus the women.